You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, washes us clean from every sin." That text talks about blood. Much blood has been shed in recent months. Hundreds of people have been killed in South Africa as tribes war against one another. That blood was not shed because of goodness and love, but because of hatred and evil. The country of Liberia is torn by civil war. On the 30th of July, some soldiers went to St. Peter Lutheran Church. They did not go for the purpose of worshiping God. They went to kill. Some 600 people, mostly women and children, who had taken refuge in that church, were murdered. That blood was not shed because of goodness and love, but because of hatred and evil. The people in the Soviet republics of Armenia and Azerbaijan seem to hate each other. The Azeris have prevented boxcars with relief supplies for victims of the Armenian earthquake from passing through their territory. That's not goodness and love, that's hatred, and that's evil. Much blood has been shed for many years in the Middle East. Most recently, the crisis in the Persian Gulf has commanded our attention. So much blood has been shed over the years. People have not died in the Middle East because of goodness and love, but because of hatred and evil. Now there might be some consolation if we could say, "Oh, that's terrible over there. It's so frightful what happens in foreign countries." But we can't say that. Blood is shed more profusely in the United States than anywhere else in the Western world. Reuters News Service of Great Britain issued a story recently. I picked it up from the Chicago Tribune. Let me read part of that news release to you. It is entitled, "In Murder, There's No Comparison to the United States." The United States has pulled so far ahead in international murder statistics that it's in a class of its own, with some kill rates more than 70 times as high as in other Western countries. In a new study comparing murders in 22 industrial countries, no nation even comes close to the United States. Its overall murder rate is 2.6 to 8 times higher than elsewhere in the West. But Americans between 15 and 24, a fifth of the homicide victims, are being murdered at rates 74 times higher than Austrians, 73 times higher than Japanese, and 22 times higher than West Germans in that age group. A recent Senate Judiciary Committee report projected a 1990 murder toll of 23,220. That blood is being shed very close to home. Perhaps someone in your family has been a victim of this violent society. The cruelty of it all terrifies us. Now, some people stop at this point. They start asking questions. Why does God let this happen? If there is a God, how can He permit such cruelty, such hatred, such evil in the world? If there is a God, the fact that such terrible evil is present in our world and society raises a question about God. A Christian theologian named G.H. Joyce writes this: "The existence of evil in the world must at all times be the greatest of all problems which the mind encounters when it reflects on God and His relation to the world. If He is, indeed, all good and all powerful, how has evil any place in the world which He has made? Whence came it? Why is it here? If He is all good, why did He allow it to arise? If all powerful, why does He not deliver us of the burden?" The existence of evil does raise questions about God in the minds of many people. When we consider such deep questions, we should make sure that our enumeration of evil and our list of victims is complete. When we list the horrors of hatred, when we enumerate the victims of evil, we must add the name of one more person who was murdered. We must add the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a truly innocent victim of hatred and evil. He was not of a mind to take out hatred by punishing others. Quite the contrary. His intent was to bring goodness and love to a world crying out because of evil. About Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, washes us clean from every sin." The shedding of blood is almost as old as this world of ours. Already in its first pages, the Bible tells how Cain shed Abel's blood. Since the shedding of blood is so sadly common, it has always been a real theme in the worship of God. One of the greatest days of the Old Testament church was the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement came on the 10th day of the 7th month of every year. That day was marked by the shedding of blood. The high priest would kill a bull as a sacrifice for sin. The bull was killed to atone for the sins of the high priest and his family. High priests, just like regular priests and pastors, have sins that need forgiveness. So on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would sacrifice a bull. Compare that to Jesus Christ. Jesus needs no forgiveness for sins. Unlike the high priest and you and me, Jesus has no sin. We do. St. John writes, "If we say that we are not sinful, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Jesus Christ is different. St. Peter says he never sinned, nor was found to be deceitful when he spoke. John the Baptizer said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A lamb symbolizes innocence and purity. Jesus has no sin. He is not a party to the hatred and evil that fill this world. And yet, he was sacrificed. He shed his own blood. That's unusual, too. The high priest on the Day of Atonement would shed the blood of an animal, not his own blood. The way of this world is always to shed someone else's blood, not your own. You may have seen the movie about General George Patton, the outspoken general of World War II. In one scene, Patton is addressing some new recruits who are going off to war. Patton says something to this effect, "You are not going to die for your country. You are going to make the other guy die for his country." Of course, General Patton didn't use the exact words I used. His words were much more graphic. But he made the point that it's the other person's blood that is to be shed, not yours. That's the way it is in this world of war and hatred and evil. But Jesus shed his own blood. In Gethsemane's garden and on Calvary's cross, he sacrificed his blood. Now you might ask, why did he do that? Why didn't he write out a big check to make things right in this world? Why didn't he pray to his heavenly Father, "Father, you are almighty, come down and straighten out this world with your divine power"? That's the line of thinking that many atheists follow when they try to use the existence of evil to question God's existence. Why didn't God use power to obliterate evil? Why did Jesus let himself become another victim of evil and hatred? Why? The answer is, that was the only way. St. Paul says in Romans 6, "The wages of sin is death." The only payment for sin is death. You can't pay for sins with a check. Force cannot atone for sins. Only death pays the wages of sin. Only the shedding of blood. So Jesus, the innocent Lamb of God, sheds his blood so that the wages of your sins could be paid. Hence, you and I can cling to the second part of that Bible passage, living in this violent and murderous world, sometimes terrified because of the violence that might happen to us and our loved ones. We trust that while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' blood, gives life because it alone washes away every sin. When Jesus was sacrificed, it was once and for all. The high priest in the Old Testament had to repeat his sacrifices. Every 10th day of every 7th month of every year, he had to sacrifice a bull, a goat, and a kid to make atonement for himself and for the people. Again and again and again, the sacrifices had to be offered for sin. In contrast, Jesus Christ sacrificed himself once and for all. The 9th chapter of Hebrews says that Christ did not go to the cross to sacrifice himself over and over again like the high priest, who every year goes into the most holy place with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have had to suffer many times since the world was made. But now he has appeared once at the end of the ages to set aside sin by his sacrifice. And just as people are appointed to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ also was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And to those who eagerly look for him, he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to them. So when Christ bowed his head on Calvary's cross, when he said, "It is finished," he literally meant that the wages of sin had been paid once and for all. There are no more sacrifices offered in the church, for Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for all time. At the end of this program, the announcer will offer you a memento. He will not encourage you to write in for a list of good works that you can do to finish your salvation. You and I do nothing to complete our forgiveness. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it really was done. When he shed his blood as the innocent Lamb of God, he really did take away the sin of the world, and he really did take away your sin. He forgives your evil. There is nothing that you have done that has not been forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ. Nothing. I don't care how much something bothers you. It doesn't matter how ashamed you are for what you did. Your guilt may continually accuse you. Your guilt may constantly say, "What you did can never be forgiven. What you did can never be forgot." Maybe you can forget it, but I'm here to tell you that every sin that you have committed has been forgiven. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a perfect sacrifice to atone for the evil of the whole world, yours included. This is the very heartbeat of our Christian faith. It helps us Christians, forgiven sinners that we are, to cope with this evil and often murderous world in which we live. Dr. Martin Luther expresses the heartbeat of our faith this way in his explanation to the second article of the Creed. "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true." Is God a question mark? When you see that God meets us in suffering, then God is no longer a question mark. God is no question mark for millions of people around this world. For example, God is no question mark for Margarita. She is a regular listener to our Lutheran Hour broadcasts. She wrote to us recently and told how God had protected her in times of evil. She wrote, "In 1923, my father left Germany for Argentina because he didn't want to be a soldier again. I was 13 then. Some years later, I married. My husband and I and our two daughters returned to Germany to claim an inheritance. Then my husband was drafted into the German army. World War II broke out. I work for the Red Cross. One night, the nearby town of Buchholz was leveled, and flames approached our town. Just then, the wind blew the flames to the right. God protected us. Margarita recounts an incident in their improvised Red Cross hospital. Soon, she says, we heard loud screaming. A Russian soldier with a foot gushing blood was brought in. He feared amputation. Our intern took good care of him, and the Russian saw that we weren't so terrible. He grabbed my gown and kissed it to give thanks. I volunteered to take the night watch, and a Russian officer arrived to ask, what is this? I answered, a hospital. He said, follow me. I thought he had a wounded man outside, but patients yelled, don't go. We exited, and he closed the door, then put his arms around me. I tried to break away, saying, I have much work, no time right now. Finally, he let go. As I re-entered the hall, I saw Werner, whose legs had been amputated. With a crutch in his mouth, he had crawled to the door to help me. I broke down and wept. I thought, what blessings I have. God protects us in the best way. God be thanked through all eternity. Margarita knows the evil of this world. But God is no question mark to her. She knows where God is. She knows that God is to be found at the cross, where an innocent victim is sacrificed because of this world's evil. She knows that God is with people who suffer. We who live in a violent world need to find God again and again and again at the cross. Poet Richard Watson Gilder writes, Christ of Judea, look thou in my heart. Do I not love thee, look to thee? In thee alone have faith of all the sons of men, faith deepening with the weight and woe of years. Pure soul and tenderest of all that came into this world of sorrow, hear my prayer. Lead me, yes, lead me deeper into thy life. This suffering human life wherein thou livest and breathest still and hold'st thy way divine. 'Tis here, O pitying Christ, where thee I seek. Here, where the strife is fiercest, where the sun beats down upon the highway thronged with men and in the raging mart. Oh, deeper lead my soul into the living world of souls where thou dost move. Amen.